Welcome, everyone, to Heartbeat Theater. From Hollywood, this is your host, C.P. McGregor, inviting you to be the guest of the Salvation Army for the next half hour. D-Day for Dory would seem, at first glance, a rather odd title for a story, that is, until you got to know Dory and a little about her life, and had met as well a charming Salvation Army officer who was called with affectionate deception the Iron Major. It's a very warm story and points out some of the areas in which the Salvation Army must work to achieve its goal of service. Now, for your listening pleasure, here is Act One of D-Day for Dory.
I agree, Mrs. West. We'll have to mimeograph the tickets instead of having them printed. Yes, I talked to Mrs. Lewis not 5 minutes ago. Refreshments are all under control. Mrs. West, may I call you back? I have someone in the office now. Oh, thank you. Goodbye.
Oh, you didn't have to do that on my account.
Oh, she's the dearest thing, Colonel, but she can talk your head off.
Just a little show, you said, Major. Let the girl guard show off their talents to the community.
There's that masculine skepticism asserting itself. All right, I won't deny it. If it keeps up this way, I may need the whole Salvation Army to help out.
Having watched you head up the Girl Guards, Major, I've often thought you were the whole Salvation Army.
That was a cutting remark, sir, and it's far too close to home. Oh. Now, I only have a teaspoon where a bulldozer is needed, Colonel. But you'd be amazed how much earth that teaspoon can move when you really apply yourself.
Oh, General Booth himself would applaud that philosophy. No, Major Nan, nothing you ever do amazes me. Not even that newspaper story about Dory... what's her name?
Oh, Dory Temple? Mm. Oh, I can't take credit for that story. That reporter just happened to hear Dory play one day. He was doing a feature for his paper on our girl guards and just happened to mention Dory's ability on the violin. Can't do any harm. I read somewhere talent was worthless without publicity.
Oh, you didn't read that in War Cry.
No, sir. In addition to War Cry, I still find time for the Bible, the Sunday feature section, and Little Orphan Annie. Now, to the business at hand. What about the school auditorium?
Oh, they agreed.
Oh, Colonel Gordon, you don't know what a relief that is.
I imagine in view of the fact you're expecting twice as many people as you can accommodate here at the division.
Oh, the girls are all so excited. I think this will be good for them. After all, at Red Shield, the boys have their ball games. This is the type of thing where the girls can all work together. The only thing that really concerns me is that Dory is so exceptionally talented, the response to her is likely to be way out of proportion to the other girls.
Well, if that budding musician in the other room is any indication, I dare say you're right.
Oh, I've had so many things on my mind I hardly noticed. Now, who could that be? I didn't know any of the other girls played the violin.
I'm not too sure any of them do. That's really a terrible sound.
Well, I never stifle a child's enthusiasm, Colonel. After all, she could be taking up the drums.
Not true.
Now, I just wonder who that is in there.
Well, Girl Guards Talent Review, or what have you, is on the road, I believe the expression goes.
And you, Colonel, didn't learn that from the War Cry.
Hmm? Oh, no.
Well, if I didn't thank you for arranging for that high school, I do now.
Anything for the Girl Guards, just to save me a seat.
Ooh.
A burst of temperament?
Oh, she's crying.
Why, suddenly your face is so soft. I've heard that Iron Major Nan melts at a teardrop, but I've never seen the phenomenon.
Why don't you come in with me?
I wouldn't miss it.
Dory! Well, Dory, what is it, dear? Dory, where's the girl who was playing? Did she knock over the music stand? Dory, you know Colonel Gordon. He's a dear friend of mine.
Perhaps if I...
Dory, this just isn't like you. Did something happen between you and the girl who was playing the violin?
There was no other girl, Major Nan. I was playing.
Major Nan speaking.
I've been trying to get you for an hour.
Oh, I'm sorry, Colonel Gordon. I've been giving a course on how to get jelly in a donut. Is the doctor through examining Dory yet?
Yes. I wanted him to explain it to you, but he couldn't wait. Do you think you could drop over?
Right away.
Now, Major Nan, these are the x-rays.
Mm-hmm. I'm a woman, sir. Could you put those in recipe form?
Well, you take two perfectly normal hands that have been gifted on the violin, and you sit back and listen to the music.
There's nothing wrong with her hands?
Mm-hmm. Or her. No orthopedic irregularity, no muscular constriction, no spinal deviations, nothing.
But the way she was playing...
is the way she felt like playing.
Don't understand.
Major Nan, the doctors who volunteer their time with the Salvation Army are some of the finest in the city. Dr. Limgow talked to her, gave a thorough checkup, and when he confronted her with the evidence and asked her for an explanation, Dory simply said, "I don't feel like being a good player anymore. Why should I? It doesn't do me any good." Or words to that effect.
A whim?
Common childish affliction.
But why? Now, there must be a reason. And the way she was crying.
Well, obviously she's angry at the violin. That's putting it very unprofessionally, but I think you see my point. Nan, there's something bothering her, and you're going to have to find out what it is. I assure you again, you can take Dr. Lemkow's word for it. There is nothing physically wrong with her.
Something's wrong with her. Problem is where to start looking.
Well, you shouldn't have much trouble there. What about that 12-year-old who tore her classroom apart after school one day? Her parents came to you, wanted her to be a girl guard. You worked with that child. You loved her until now.
Oh, Susan,
oh, that's
my pride and joy, an honor student. All right, I'll find something.
Now, father employed? Money in the family?
No, both of Dory's parents are dead. Mm-hmm. She lives with her grandfather on his pension. You know, in one of those miserable flats on the east side.
Oh, well.
Actually, the building's been condemned. The welfare office has been trying to find a place with an acceptable rent. No, Colonel, they're as alien to money as fire to water.
How ironic. From what you say of her talent, it could provide a good home for the two of them.
Something must have happened. But what... Well, for the moment, I have nothing to go on, but I will.
Put one straw in your broom and you'll still sweep out the dust.
Well, maybe I have more than one straw in my broom. You know, Dory's been rather moody lately, and I attributed it to artistic temperament, what have you.
The excitement of the coming show.
Yes. But now that I think about it, this particular sullenness had a very definite starting date, and it's persisted for the last month. I remember it was the 15th of April. No reason, I just remember.
15th of April. Well, one thing, that's income tax day.
Hardly significant to me. That's where I'll start. The 15th of April. Then there were no report cards on that date, Miss Harris. I see. Well, was there a dance or any special test? Anything at all that made that particular day different from any other school day? I'm sorry, you're right. It is a hard thing to recall offhand. Well, I wonder if you'd mind giving it some thought. Thank you so much, Miss Harris. Goodbye.
Nothing.
Well, not at the moment. She came here right after school that day. Nothing in our record book indicates anything unusual happened.
Well, it might have been the day before.
And it might have been a bad dream or atmospheric condition. I have to draw the line somewhere, at least to begin with. Well, these are the newspapers from April 15th. Let me go through them.
Of course. But what shall I look for?
Well, I don't know, Colonel. I'm just hoping that if there is something, we'll recognize it. No, there's nothing here. Write his page.
Well, I won't quote you, but I... Oh, here's an article on Social Security. Wonder if that would affect her grandfather.
No, he isn't eligible for another year.
Well, don't you think you're going at this through the back door? Why not talk directly to the grandfather?
Colonel, I intend to, and some more of her friends and the school principal, but I want to learn more about April 15th. Now, you ask someone about a given day more than a month ago, they're not going to remember a thing about it, unless I can refresh them as to what kind of a day it was.
Ah.
Now, see here, here's a list. It drizzled between 8 and 9 that morning. The sun came out at noon. The high temperature for the day was 62. The state plumbers' convention was down at the Carlton Hotel. These are the movies that were playing at all the theaters in town, etc., etc.
All right, all right. Major Nan, my hat's off to you. Very thorough indeed. But now, you just listen to what I just found.
Oh?
Final notices were served to all residents of the condemned Rivers End slum tenements yesterday. With the eviction notices came good news for most of the occupants. Families of three or more will move to the new housing project with little or no increase in rent. Now, this marks another...
That's enough, Colonel.
You did say that Dory lived in those condemned tenements, didn't you?
Yes. But how can that tie in with her attitude toward the violin?
Well, I'd better be on my way.
Yeah, so would I. I'm going to see Dory's grandfather.
Yes. Yes, Major Nan, I remember that day very well. Or rather, that evening. Yes, we had two callers that night.
Two, Mr. Temple? Both serving the eviction notice?
No, just the one with the notice. He was the second caller. The first... I tell you, I've seen a lot of his type in my day. Young, enthusiastic, full of ideas, never missing an opportunity... And to him, Dory was an opportunity.
Oh, he saw the story in the paper about Dory.
He sure did, and he knew a good thing when he saw it. He came through that door with four auditions lined up.
Hmm.
Two of them a cinch. Three guaranteed television appearances and one on radio. Well, we had a briefcase full of contracts, and he talked the kind of show business language I hardly understood.
Tell me, what about Dory during all this?
Her teeth must have chattered. Her knees knocked a bit. I don't think Dory had ever given a thought to what her talent meant beyond satisfaction to her. I have to laugh when I think of it. He offered her $1,000 advance right then and there if she'd sign the contract. And all Dory could say was, "Oh, You must be crazy, mister."
Well, did you believe him?
Well, I had to. The check was a certified cashier's check, certainly.
Funny. Dory never mentioned this to me.
Well, maybe it isn't so strange. I was ready to sign along with her. My position, I'm sure you can understand, that an honest $1,000 is mighty tempting. Not just for myself. I was thinking of a roof over Dory's head, some new clothes for her. Paying off all we owe to her violin teacher.
Yeah.
But she'd have none of it. He wasn't ready for anything like that. He didn't want to leave me alone while she was out performing. And, this guy blew his top, and that just got Dory madder. She down here threw him out. And then 10 minutes after he left...
The eviction notice arrived.
That is correct, yes.
Did Dory know about it?
Well, I'd been keeping it from her. A child worries about everything, you know.
Then that was the first time she was aware of your predicament? Having to move, I mean.
Well, I told her everything. There just wasn't another place we could afford to rent. That is, outside of the new project. And, of course, we didn't qualify for that.
But if she'd signed those contracts...
Yes, no doubt it... I agree with you. Things would have been different.
Well, I think we found the source of the trouble with Dory. When do you have to move?
1st of July, Major. Don't mind my saying. You look as worried about this, about our problem, as I am.
It's just my nature. Besides, that's my job with the Salvation Army, caring about the problems of people I work with. Well, we'll just have to find you a new apartment, somehow.
So ends the first act of D-Day for Dory. I'd like to take a moment here to thank all of you who have written us about Heartbeat Theater. We've received many wonderful letters commenting on the program, and some telling us about a particular story that helped them solve a problem. We're very grateful to have received these letters and cards because they help us to know that we're reaching you with, I hope, both good entertainment and useful information about the Salvation Army. So please continue to let us know how you feel about Heartbeat Theater. Both we and the Salvation Army are vitally interested. A word of thanks, too, to this station, which has given this time for Heartbeat Theater as a public service. Now, Act Two of our story, D-Day for Dory.
No, Mr. Pennock, there's plenty of time before we have the programs printed. Yes, I'll keep that deadline in mind. Well, it's just that there may be some last-minute changes. Come in. Oh, thank you for your help, Mr. Pennock. Goodbye. Well, come in and sit down, Dory. My goodness, so formal, a knock on my door and everything.
Well, I thought you might be busy, Major Nan.
Never for my girls. They come first.
I really don't know what to say, but I kind of felt I should talk to you. I know the show's just 10 days away, and you were... Well...
It won't be the same show without you, but... Dory, you remember Colonel Gordon?
I think so.
Well, he's asked our welfare office to check into that housing project about an apartment for you and your grandfather.
Well, he didn't have to do that.
He wanted to. The two of you need help. Now, if the Salvation Army can help somebody, we consider it a privilege.
But they have rules about those new apartments. Families of three or more. I can't expect them to break the rules just for us.
Those rules were set down nearly 3 years ago when the project was just being planned. And since then, two factories in the area have moved to another part of town, and lots of people moved with them. Now, it seems there used to be a waiting list on the new apartments, but now they expect some vacancies.
But the rule hasn't changed.
Well, not yet, but the restriction of three or more will be lifted at midnight the end of this month. Now, if some of those vacancies are still left, and there's every reason to believe they will be, families of two will be accepted.
I guess that'll be real nice.
This promise has substance, Dory. There's a very good chance.
I know what you're thinking. I heard the doctors talking when they examined me. A whole lot of goop and stuff. There's nothing wrong with me. Well, I don't care.
Oh, Dory.
I don't care if we get an apartment or not. I don't care what happens. It's probably too late now anyway. I'm not going to play anymore. I'm not going to touch the violin ever again.
Dory! Dory! Too late now. Too late for what? And she ran out of here crying, saying she'd never play the violin again.
I see. So, a new apartment wasn't the answer, huh?
Oh, and here I thought I'd been so clever. I was convinced it was all as simple as a roof over her head. Well, I'm afraid, Colonel Gordon, there are more doors in a child's mind than I seem to be able to open. I feel so lost, defeated. So little time and no one to turn to.
No one to turn to, Nan? You say that after turning to a god all your life when you needed him?
I haven't made a direct request. But I'm afraid there are times when I take it for granted. God knows I can't do the Salvation Army's work without him.
Here you are, Colonel.
Hmm? Oh, thank you. I asked Dr. Lemkow for a complete copy of Dory's medical history. Here it is, ma'am.
Let's see. Oh, this is strange. Look here.
Hmm? What?
Apparently, this is a history of the ailments that have occurred in her family.
Well, there's nothing strange about it. Routine procedure and any thorough checkup.
No, but right here. See? See where it's crossed out? Two words?
Huh? Let me take a better look at that. Oh, grand something. Can't think of an illness that starts with the letters G-R-A-N-D. I can check with Dr. Lemkow.
But the next word.
Tuberculosis.
Yes, that's what I make it out. Grand. Grandfather.
Hmm?
Now, that's strange. I wonder if Dr. Lemkow would remember how this happened to be inserted and then crossed out.
Well, the doctor isn't available right now, but I can speak to the nurse who was present.
I don't know why, but I have a feeling.
Would you ring Miss Taggart, please? She's in Dr. John Lemkow's office, thank you. I'll find out in a minute about the whole thing, as I recall.
This has something to do with
her. Oh, excuse me. Miss Taggart, Colonel Gordon of the Salvation Army. On the Dory Temple history. Yeah, Dr. Temple. You know, the one Dr. Lamkow sent me. That's right. There's a line that seems to read, Grandfather Tuberculosis, and then that line is crossed out. We were wondering if you... Oh, I see. Well, thank you, Miss Taggart. That's what we wanted to know.
Well, what did she say?
She not only remembered the incident, Nan, she had something else to add. Dory mentioned that her grandfather had just come down with tuberculosis and then insisted it was a mistake. Said that he meant a virus. Didn't even know what tuberculosis meant.
Not know what it meant. Well, that isn't too likely. She's a very intelligent girl.
But here is the important thing. Miss Taggart just checked. It seems Mr. Temple does have the early stages of TB.
Well, I should have guessed, Major. I should have guessed. That was when she suddenly got quiet. Sort of strange when Dory came in not 2 minutes after the doctor left that evening. You say you've talked to my doctor?
Yes, I reached him about an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
He said he almost knocked Dory over as he was leaving that day. She must have been listening at the door while he talked to you.
Yeah, she's a smart one. She didn't come right in. They didn't want me to suspect that she heard.
And it probably took some time for her to get hold of herself. She may have been crying.
So Dory knows how sick I am. Well, some break for a 14-year-old girl, Major? Her only close relative getting sick like this. I should be a help to her, but instead I'll be a burden.
Now, Mr. Temple, don't think that way.
See, I've been mean to her lately. Real, real nasty.
Oh.
She's got to forget me, Major. I'll only hold her back.
It was the day after she overheard your doctor that her sullenness set in.
Well, what does it mean, Major? What does her playing the violin or not playing it have to do with all this?
Oh, I'm only an amateur, Mr. Temple. I'm trying to be a surgeon when I have trouble trimming my nails. But I guess that Dory feels that had she signed those contracts a while before, she would have had the money to send you to Arizona when the doctor said you should have gone.
Well, I'm not her responsibility. She's mine.
Mr. Temple, with a child's innocent intuition, I think she realizes we're all responsible to each other. Nobody can live apart in God's world. But in the meantime, we have to reach Dory. She has to be made to understand. We have to do something for you, too.
Me? I'm hardly your responsibility.
Well, now, really, Salvation Army aside, I'm a human being. You expect me to just walk away and forget about you? I don't know about getting you to Arizona. Dory may still be the one to accomplish that. But in the meantime, we're going to do all we can to get you into a warmer apartment. Yes, sir. Well, it seems to me there are entirely too many rules concerning the new housing project.
Pardon me, madam, but if you take another step, you're going to be on the stage with her.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's going well, isn't it?
Wonderful. Excuse me, but I'm looking for you if you happen to be Major Nan.
Yes, I am. May I help you?
Of course. My name is Hardy, National Concert Artist.
Oh, yes, Mr. Hardy. Oh, I'm so glad you got here. Oh, that's Dory playing now. Oh, she comes back later in the program.
Well, I'd better listen for a moment. That's what I came here for. Very pretty girl. Nice presence on the stage. No, she's right. She isn't quite ready yet.
What? How did you know she feels that way, Mr. Hardy?
Oh, a friend of mine, I should say acquaintance, tried to sign her up a few months ago. Around our business, we call him an operator.
Oh, yes, I heard about him. But that's another story, and I'm really quite concerned at the moment with what you just said.
About her not being ready?
Yes.
Well, it's true. She has remarkable talent, but
She hasn't had the time to train it to its fullest.
Well, she's only 14, Mr. Hardy. We're very proud of her, not only as a violinist, but as a person.
Do you have any children, Major?
Several thousand.
Oh, I thought so, and I trespassed on that divine territory. A mother's sensitivity when it comes to her children.
I am noted for being peculiarly insensitive, Mr. Hardy. I just happen to believe in Dory's talent, and it disturbs me when someone tries to upset that faith.
Will you be quiet just a moment, please? I want to hear what she does with this passage. Not quiet.
I believe you made your point, Mr. Hardy.
No. I'm afraid I didn't. Tell me, Major, is all the Salvation Army so militant in their faith?
We are still individuals, Mr. Hardy. I fight for what I believe in. And
I heard they called you Iron Major, man.
And Mr. Hardy?
Well, there was another Iron Major during the First World War. My dad knew him. His bark was worse than his bite, too. Major Nam, that young lady at the violin out there can bring joy and beauty to millions of people. It can be done quickly, commercially, and be a fleeting thing, or it can be done properly, patiently, with the dignity fitting such a God-given talent. But my company offers a second way.
But you just said...
I said she wasn't ready, and she isn't. Another year, two, or three at the very most, and she will be a giant. I would like to sign her now, put her under contract with a regular salary, arrange for the best possible coaching. When the time is right, she'll debut at Carnegie Hall.
Oh.
I want you to get some of that faith you have into me. If you believe what I offer is best for Dory, will you tell her and her grandfather, please?
Oh, Mr. Hardy, I...
Now, wait a minute. You're going to apologize for your faith and confidence in Dory. Please don't.
Just one thing. Would there be enough, right away that is, to move her grandfather to Arizona and arrange for his care? You see, he's a very sick man.
Well, ordinarily I couldn't answer that with any certainty. Without a legal guardian, we'll have to place her in a private girls' school. Well, at any rate, let me say this much. My recommendations count a lot with my agency. It is entirely possible, well, I'll go so far as to say even probable, that what you ask can be worked out.
Oh, thank you. You know, it's strange. Months back, before all the problems for Dory, she called this date her own personal D-Day. Back then, she had no conception of the battle ahead. But now it's over. I think Dory has won.
That was the final act of our story, D-Day for Dory. Be sure to be with us again next week for another Heartbeat Theater story. A presentation of the Salvation Army, Heartbeat Theater is produced in Hollywood and is broadcast overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. Until next week, this is your host, C.P. McGregor, saying thanks for listening and have a happy week ahead.